Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. All right. It's another beautiful day for football, fantasy. It's the weekend. That's always a win.
Yeah.
So you got episode 13 this week.
Ooh.
13 in the books. Starting
nice.
Now.
13.
Yeah. lucky number 13. For sure. Well, just to get it rolling, welcome to Brickhouse Fantasy Radio. Thank you for joining us again on week 13. As always, DC is with me. I'm Kamish, and we're going to discuss some fantasy football lineups, roster moves, injury updates, some games of the week. But I did want to give a quick shout-out to boys over at Sakoff DT. They do a show Tuesdays. Sometimes it varies 6-8. They do live shows, but they've been kind of supporting our channel quite a bit. They just had a website go live. SportsTalkDT.com is actually, you can catch our live shows on his website. He's doing a direct feed with our show to his site. So check out his shows, sportstalkdt.com, and if you need a website to listen to ours live, you can check that out as well. Definitely got to give a little traffic and support for those guys. A lot of love, so appreciate Dennis and that team. And if you have any questions, roster concerns, please call in 515-605-9898. And if you can't call in because you're busy, you're working, but you can still get a message out and hit us up on Instagram at Brickhouse Fantasy Radio. You can pitch in some questions, and we'll be happy to answer them and check those out. So, yeah, there's the morning start. Welcome. What's going on, man? How are you today? You ready? Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes.
I feel like I need a couple more sips of this coffee, and then I'll be right in there and with it. But yeah, get it going. Trying to make sure we got all the technical support here. All right. Today we have discussed a few different things. No internet. That we kind of wanted to go over today. One of those being the Buffalo Bills and the Tampa Bay game. You want to hit that a little later? You're ready. You're ready to jump in.
Okay.
Yeah, you ready to jump in with that one, or should I postpone that one?
Well, everything, man. We're good. We're here.
Okay. Well, we were trying to discuss shootout or no shootout.
Huh.
That's the big question of the day.
Yeah.
You got one of the better passing offenses in the league, and the Bills' defense is, you know, top tier. They've actually allowed a lot less of the long balls than most defenses. They've got enough of a good squad that makes it interesting, because it could really go either way. This could be a Fournette 4 or 5 yard or 4 or 5 touchdown game, or this could turn into another Chris Godwin, Evans, Gronk show. What's your take? Do you think the long ball shootout or not so much?
Well, I think the number's 54. Baker,
right.
I guess that's, you know, someone thinks
somebody out west. Yeah.
Someone thinks he's shoot out, right? Yeah. I don't know.
Why you were hesitant to call it that. Why?
Well, I don't believe in Buffalo.
I don't believe in Buffalo. That just sounds funny. It's not that.
Yeah.
It's not Santa Claus.
It's fictional. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
I'm not like coercing you to drink any Kool-Aid or anything. I was just trying to see what you think. Allen's been able to extend some plays with his feet. He does have a little bit of a cannon, but Tampa Bay's defense, even though they've been kind of sliding down the rankings, actually, have still been very disruptive. Dean, the secondary, they've done their piece, had a few good turnovers and stops. It's hard because I know the over-under right now is at 54. I think that they could hit that. Obviously, so does Vegas. But
yeah, it's possible. Sure.
I think that Tampa could be the main reason that happens. I think Brady could potentially pick apart a little bit of Buffalo's defense and create those like smaller mid-range chunk plays consistently. And instead of, like, Buffalo doesn't give up a lot of the long balls, but he doesn't need that. Like, he only needs maybe one of those or two of those in the game. The rest of that, Brady can change the game script himself, you know, just keep it mid-range and on the ground. And, you know, with as well as people don't want to give Fournette that kind of credit, but he's played really well, even after, you know, a little bit of the case of the drops. They keep feeding it to him, and he makes up for it. So I do think that the over is very interesting. And it's one of those – it's the kind of game me personally, I don't want to speak for you, but really want to watch. because there could be the explosive big plays, but there also could be that, you know, real methodical small chunks being taken out, you know, to kind of chip away at a team. So definitely a game I'm very interested. Very interested.
Yeah, it's an interesting game. It's interesting because there's a lot of, fantasy guys, like, on the heavier side. Like a good amount. Like, I'd say, like, 6 or 8 of these playing in that game. So I think that makes it interesting. I have no interest in watching it, personally. I hate watching Buffalo. They hurt my eyes.
You don't believe in it, that's why.
Well, no, they get so many penalties. Like, that's the first thing. Like, just the abrupt stoppages because someone wants to hold someone's shirt.
Too much shirt holding. That's what.
And the getting caught. The getting caught. Like, listen, we all speed. Do we all get speeding tickets?
Fair. Fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough. Whose defense, I mean, out of the two, do you think either one of the defenses kind of would stands out a little more to you?
I mean, I don't think either of them's a quality fantasy play this week. I don't know what to think because Buffalo has allowed the fewest average yards passing per game. But Tre'Davious White is out now, out for the season.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that has an effect. Tampa's defensive backfield has been an utter disaster since week one. Just disaster. I don't know if this guy, Dean, that you like, I mean, I don't know. He hasn't stood out quite as much to me. Like, to me, they can't cover anybody. The thing was like a pretend effort to correct the problem, but, you know, that went nowhere. So,
yeah. I mean, Brady, he's creeping up to, I think he's at 3,771 passing yards so far on the season. And it seemed like there were several games that the pass, at least the deep stuff, wasn't really there. But it seems like he's obviously, you know, getting comfortable right back into that mode after last week.
Yeah.
So I do think Buffalo has a tough time this week. I would take Tampa if I had to go with one. Just because really no matter who the opponent's been, Brady has still been, you know, fairly efficient. He's only had a couple of weak games. And with the yardage going and the weapons there, it's hard to ignore. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I would think Tampa should win.
Looking at the passing list right now, too, Derek Carr is in second with passing yardage at 3,663 yards.
Okay.
Then Stafford, who slid down a tick, was in second, 3,611. And then Kirk Cousins at 3,569.
There he is, everyone.
Right? I mean, it's hard. You can't love the guy because he's not good enough for that, but he's still putting up points. I mean, even after a really just a poor showing in the second half of last week's game, he's still at the top. Still just lingering.
And lingering. I agree with this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just throwing it out there, we have a couple of Keenan Allen definitely out, not making it back off of the COVID list. Mike Evans is going to play. Mike Williams. I'm sorry. Mike Williams is going to play this week.
Yes.
He was questionable off the COVID list, but he was able to get the two consecutive tests required 24 hours apart to clear that protocol, if you will. So that one's there. Eckler was also questionable. They did remove that designator earlier yesterday.
Go Eckler.
So, yeah. I mean, you gotta. It was crazy because it was all from the Chargers, some of the more notable injuries is, you know, the whole offense all of a sudden, and then now some of them are back. They're sneaking back into the lineup, so that's good.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor is at 1,348 rushing yards. Is this correct?
Woo!
That's a pretty good start, man. You can't.
That's a heavy number.
That is.
That's
thick.
Yeah.
Thick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Joe Mixon at 978. Dalvin Cook, 978. Derrick Henry, who's been out for several weeks, at 937, 2-4.
Fourth in the league in total rushing yards.
We talked about that, man. He's, for the next several weeks, he's still going to be, you know, a top five guy. Well, no, Najee Harris is at 873, so he's a week away from pushing him to number five.
Okay.
But, yeah, top five. After several
and
weeks,
Taylor is 1,348,
I believe, right now.
Jeez, I mean, that's what was that, 350 ahead of second place?
Yeah. Yep.
Jeez.
Yeah, man. It's pretty amazing. And like, we knew he was good, but we didn't know if the Colts were gonna be good enough to show how good he was. And even though
yeah.
they're not even playing that great, they're doing well enough to show how good this guy is.
Yeah.
Like a clear number one for next season.
I was wondering how committed are they? Like, is this going to be a platoon backfield? That kind of a question. Right? Like, I just didn't know. Like, I thought they had the offensive line talent to support Taylor. I just thought, man, I mean, they won't trade Marlon Mack. Hines looks okay. Don't they still have that Jordan Wilkins guy? Like, it just seems like...
He's been injured. He's had kind of a little bit of an injury bug.
I wasn't sure they were really this committed to Taylor.
Well, there's no reason to not be now. I mean, he's proven himself, right? I mean, that's... Like, no franchise can just be like, all right, well, this guy's that good, and we're just, you know, we decide to not be committed. I mean, I guess if it was a contract year and these guys do a ton of money and they don't want to pay it, that's different. But we still got time on that. He's still young. He's still very young.
So what are you saying? Like, they're going to remove some running backs from the roster next season?
I mean, they can keep guys that who do they have that they're paying right now that they have to remove. I'm just saying that you brought up the commitment level to Taylor, and I'm saying he's been too good to not be fully committed to this guy. No, but like, Hines isn't getting paid that much, so it's not like they're gonna have to remove him. So no, wasn't going that like that far. Just
okay.
Just showing that, you know, Wilkins has been bitten by the injury stuff a little bit, and Hines is like a great change of pace, and yeah, and I don't think he's making that much money. I have to search his salary.
Mac on his way out, right?
Mac is but that we kind of thought that even this season.
No, yeah,
we were a little more surprised that when he didn't hit at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Kind of thinking, what are the Colts actually doing?
Yeah, it was very strange. So, they traded him.
It's just they could have gotten. I mean, what kind of value you think they could have gotten back? You think they could get first or second round pick? Second round pick, maybe.
Absolutely not. No.
What kind of value?
Seventh. Sixth.
Okay, Marlon Mack goes to whatever said organization.
Yeah,
they give up just a sixth round pick.
Yeah,
and that's it. Call it
Yeah, but I mean, if you're the Colts, for a guy that's had zero carries in the last 6 weeks, you know, that's
right.
A pick. A guy that's not going to be on the team next year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get a pick. See what happens. I would think. So yeah, just because they had so many backs, like going into the draft, like, man, That was my personal biggest question about how close to potential can he reach. Like, man, if they got all these running backs, is that a problem? You know, I just didn't know.
Yeah, they got to do something with Mac, that's for sure. It's just ridiculous that he's sitting there not touching anything. I mean, he's not a bad player.
No.
I thought before this, I thought Mac was going to be, you know, a top 10, top 15-ish back, you know, prior to this guy coming in. But
takeover.
Like you talked about the commitment level, and I don't think that they committed to him the way they are.
Whoa,
Right.
As far as being committed to Taylor, they're not drafting another running back in the second round, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. What about the game Thursday? Vikings Steelers. Vikings up 23-0. And then all in the fourth quarter, the Steelers come back, put up 28 points, make them nervous. I was most intrigued with how much people were talking crap about the Steelers wide receiver, Mr. Chase Claypool, with the shenanigans. I was surprised to see the list, because I didn't watch the whole game, but the list of the shenanigans going on, personal fouls, a little bit of taunting going on, and then right when at the end there's you know, a chance to hit a game tying touchdown, you're going to, you know, start doing the finger pointing to indicate your first down, get a pose going. And even when he's trying to rip the football out of his hands, it's like bobbling it around. I don't know, just costing the team time and potentially another play to tie the game at the end. I was curious to see if he's even going to be playing this week, you know?
No, it's shenanigans, man. I don't think he's playing. It doesn't seem like it.
I kind of hope not. Tomlin's been pretty tough with that. Actually, hold on one second. We've got a caller here.
Okay.
Hello.
Good morning. Welcome to Brickhouse Fantasy Radio. Happy Football Sunday to you. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
I'm doing very good, very good, very good. So we've got the future of football radio, fantasy radios, calling in right here. This is Joey, a.k.a. The Boss, calling in to discuss some fantasy football. All right, so thank you for calling in. Appreciate the participation here.
Thank you.
I wanted to see what did you get a chance to watch any of the Steelers Vikings game, or were you too busy playing football yourself?
I saw bits and pieces, but I didn't watch the full game, though.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we were just talking about Chase Claypool and whether or not we thought he was going to be playing after some of the shenanigans that were going on in the game. But do you have any thoughts on that game or any players this week that you are interested in from the fantasy football perspective?
I think definitely Lamar Jackson should be looked at this weekend, especially after that crushing defeat to the Steelers in 2019. Yeah, I think he's going to bounce back, especially against Cleveland Browns team that has kind of underperformed considering last season's performance. So I think he can definitely take advantage, and it'll be a good confidence booster overall as a team for the Ravens if they get it done today.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, you think, because Jackson has been struggling a little bit, not because of anything specific. He's just had, like, some sloppy games. What about Cleveland's line? You don't think they're going to be putting pressure on him? Miles Garrett, kind of a
definitely
quarterback?
Think Miles
or you
Garrett.
Think he's – go ahead.
Yeah, I definitely think he's going to wreak some havoc today. But I also think that the reason Lamar Jackson is so known today is because of his running capabilities. So if he can show some plays off with his legs and possibly roll out of the pocket, then I think the Ravens should be good. But definitely Cleveland's D-line is something to definitely pay attention to today.
So if you had to guess the score of that game, what would you say?
I don't think it's going to be that high of a scoring matchup. I'd probably say maybe 27-20, Ravens.
27-20, Ravens.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Vegas thinks that the over-under is at 43, but Vegas is taking the over in favor of Baltimore. So you're doing all right.
thank you.
What else? Any other players that you kind of like that you would recommend starting? I'm trying to think because actually my partner here, DC, he's a Lamar Jackson rosterer. What do you think about that, DC? You taking Lamar this week?
I'm playing Lamar this week. It's more out of necessity. I'm still spooked from the last time they played Cleveland. Not even so much the Pittsburgh game. For me, the Pittsburgh game was fine. Like he almost did enough on their last two possessions to really just feel the quality fantasy scoring day.
Okay.
But the last time that they played Cleveland, that game was a mess.
Cleveland doesn't get sneaky that way.
I haven't really been like playing him with confidence this week. I'm happy to hear the optimism because I like him. But man,
yeah, sure.
Last time they played, man, that was hurtful for my eyes.
My eyes teared up because it hurt. It physically hurt my eyeballs.
I think four interceptions were thrown over a period of six plays from scrimmage, and jeez.
Yeah. That's rough.
Yeah.
That's what I mean, and then you have a week where, you know, Baker doesn't do anything, and then it just turns into like a defensive slugfest. And yeah, I don't feel like Lamar does as well in those type of games. But all it takes is him to move the chains a little bit with his feet. All of a sudden, momentum starts swinging, and that whole team feels the momentum from Lamar. So, you're talking about four interceptions. Well, the whole team, like literally everybody on that squad, felt it by the second interception. Everybody's shoulders were dropped and their heads were down.
Except for him. He was fine. He was ready to go. The rest of them were looking all slow after that. He was, next play. Let's go. Everything's fine. He's great. But,
okay.
Cleveland, too. I think Jarvis Landry threw an interception. Then Jackson threw an interception. Then Mayfield threw an interception. And then the Ravens ran like two plays, and then Lamar threw another interception. I mean,
I kind of feel like I'm on the Oprah show. You get an interception. You get an interception.
Yeah.
You get an interception.
Seriously.
All right, Joey. What else? What else you got? What other players are you looking at this week that you think have opportunity to kind of score big or bounce back?
Well, you know, I'm a Seahawks fan, so I gotta look at DK Metcalf. I mean, today should be a field day for him.
DK?
Yeah.
Or Tyler Lockett? Who does better?
No, DK.
Yeah, definitely DK. I feel
definitely
Tyler Lockett's
DK.
More of a deep threat.
Definitely.
You can put him on a post, and then he could just shred up the Texan secondary, but definitely DK.
Yeah.
But Texans defense is another one that's been a little bit sneaky. They've been keeping their team at least in a game. Initially in the season, we talked about the Texans as Chasen's points for them, the Jets, you know, just, but there have been some games that they really have been disruptive, at least. I mean, I guess that's the way to say it. I think that this is a good game for Seattle, though, because I think Russ has been down, you know, after the finger injury and then kind of a few poor performances. Following his return, I think there is a little bit of motivation to kind of get things rolling or getting comfortable with throwing the ball again. Because apparently there was a couple of games after the comeback that he was struggling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He was really struggling. Right now the over-under for the game is 40.5, so 40.5 points. I think Seattle can put up at least enough to get them over that hump.
I think
so.
So
right
too.
Now you're saying DK Metcalf does better than Lockett? See, I was going to say the opposite. This is tough because I roster Tyler Lockett, and he had, you know, a couple of really great games early on, and he's kind of fizzled out, especially while Russ was down and out or gone. And then there's little glimpses of hope that he's coming back. I think DK is the better player, but I think Tyler Lockett scores more points than DK Metcalf this week.
You know what? I could definitely
like you
that
said,
happen.
The long ball.
Yeah.
I bet you DK gets more volume. He's going to have the targets for sure.
And I think he also has that size and athleticism that kind of towers over Lockett. But, yeah, Lockett, definitely someone to watch out as well today against the Texans.
Yeah, the guy's size. I mean, if you don't know who DK Metcalf is, you should just Google the name. And I think he's got, like, a 14-pack. I don't think there's even, like, 6 or 8 of those abs. I think there's, like, 14 of them. the guy is just an absolute monster. And he seems like a really nice guy, too. That's what's funny. He's like, hey, how's everybody doing? You know, as he's towering over you with the 14. But, okay, so DK Metcalf, you're going DK. I'm saying Lockett. DC, what do you got? You think
you got Metcalf.
DK? Okay. 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 All right. Well, Joe, you got anything else? You got anything else for us? We need some more nuggets, man. What do you got? What do you got?
I would also
sit and
wait for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs definitely need today's game. Their offense has been pretty stagnant recently. It's kind of Tyreek Hill seems like he's lost his mojo, his confidence. And Patrick Mahomes hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in November something. So I think the Chiefs definitely need to get the offense together.
Okay. All right. Yeah, divisional game. I could definitely see where this is important for the Chiefs. Sitting at 8-4 against the 6-6 Vegas Raiders. I've heard a couple of different things about this game. This is supposed to be Hunter Renfro, just points-making machine. Just because Kansas City's defense hasn't been that great, really at all this season. But
yeah.
You can't ever really write out Mahomes. You just can't do it. It's silly. The guy puts up points. He makes plays out of nothing. The no-look passes. You can't write him off. So I'm trying to think. Who else we got on? What's the over-under on the Chiefs game? Got it here. What do we got? Sorry, slight technical difficulty. Over-under is at 48 points. A little bit high. I would say over.
That's way too high. I wouldn't touch that.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. Too high.
Way too high. The Raiders are terrible.
And
the Chiefs have been winning with defense for about a month and a half now. So, no. I wouldn't touch that for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is tough. I mean, both are just so thank you. Both are just so high scoring. It's tough to ignore.
But if I was to take Raiders offense or Chiefs offense, no matter how bad the Chiefs have been doing, I fully believe in Patrick Mahomes, and I would probably go with the Chiefs.
Okay. Okay. All right. I like it.
All right, man. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate you calling in today.
Thank you.
Thank you for the support and the nuggets. We'll always take that outside information and see how we can apply it to a good fantasy
day.
We might end up needing somebody to take a slot on a fantasy team here. Stand by, you know. Just wait before next season. Don't get into too many leagues next year, all right?
Okay, you let me know.
All right, thanks, man. Have a great day. Happy Sunday to you. And
thank
you. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye.
Yeah,
have
yeah,
I'm
good.
Bye.
All right. Nice.
Cool. Yeah, it was a good one, right?
It is. That is a good one. That's fun. That's always fun. I need to get reconnected here. Hold on, having some technical things going on here. Give me just a moment. I'm going to take this. Oh, goodness. Welcome to Brick House Fantasy Radio. Happy Football Sunday. How are you? Hello, hello.
Hello.
Okay, we got nothing.
We got nothing.
Sorry. I'm pretty sure it was one of my parents.
Okay.
They're calling in.
Okay. Well, that Lamar Jackson stuff was encouraging, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I like
if you're if you're rostering Lamar, we got people out there that are very confident, so that's a good thing. All right. How about we discuss for just a couple of minutes here Detroit and Denver?
Okay. Come on, Detroit.
Yeah.
What up, though?
Detroit. Getting
at it. I like it.
So against Denver, this is tough. It's a tough matchup. Good defense. Okay. But
it is.
Go on. Tell it. Just tell the people. Tell the people what they want
to do. Well, I always feel like Denver can be beat, you know?
Absolutely.
They're funky. Like if they were playing anyone, I would always say, man, don't rule out Denver. But they're also not a team that I would say is guaranteed to win just because it's Detroit this week, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Detroit has slid out
of that category.
Yeah, and Denver isn't in that category, like a team that's so good they should just win because it's Detroit. They're just not.
Yeah.
They're good enough that they could upset a good team any given week. They're good enough for that, but and another thing is Detroit is not mathematically eliminated from playoffs right now. I don't know if you know that.
It's like if the assistant coach for the Vikings catches a cold and
and their special teams, you know, equipment manager stubs his toe, and then a bunch of people win and lose specifically, then they're in it. And that's what's interesting is you sent me that, and all I could do is chuckle, and then I really wanted to just read it because I'm thinking, what exactly has to happen?
Exactly!
For this, like, it was
a good one,
like,
right?
Like, you're constantly hoping that everyone's okay when you drive past the car accident, but, like, you still slow down because you're like, let me just see what happened. Make sure. So how many different combinations of things have to happen before the Detroit Lions
it's like several things per week. It's really something extraordinary. Like it's like the exact combination of wins and losses throughout the entire NFC. Like it's that serious. So of course the first thing that has to happen each week is Detroit has to win. But
that's a good start. But yeah, it's funny that as you look at some of the things that have to happen. So the Lions need to beat the Broncos.
Doable.
The Steelers needed to beat the Vikings. Is that
okay?
So is that done now? Because the Vikings won?
I guess so, maybe.
Man. Oh well, that's sad. Because I was looking at the list. The Cowboys need to beat Washington. Very possible. The Jets needing to beat the Saints. You know, who knows? Taysom Hill, he's been really good, you know, creating fantasy points, but he also creates a lot of turnovers.
Every time.
That's yeah. I mean, you know, Packers need to beat the Bears. I think that'll happen. Bengals need to beat the 49ers. I think that could happen. I mean, there's just a lot of the variables seemed doable. There's only a couple that seemed, you know, a little
too far out.
I agree. You know,
but I don't know. Maybe now in a Pittsburgh loss might be something.
Yeah, and it's the second game on the list, so it's got to be there for a reason. But even a Lions schedule, you know, beat the Broncos. Could the Lions beat the Cardinals? That was probably the one that was a little tough, but the Lions could beat the Falcons. The Lions could beat the Seahawks. And then week 18 was the Packers. So out of the five, you know, week 15 and week 18 seemed a little bit tough. So
right.
And that
well,
was
one of the
know,
things
of
I thought. Well, what if the Packers already had the number one seed in the NFC locked going into week 18? Then what?
That's true.
But I think Pittsburgh might have let us down.
Yeah, and ruined our segment because I really wanted to unpack how the Lions get in. Dang it, Steelers! What are you doing? And you know what? This kind of rolls back full circle. It's Chase Claypool's fault.
Dude, how about Fryermuth?
Yeah, the moose. That's what they're calling.
How about Fryermuth? Like catch the touchdown with no time left. How about that?
That's a contested throw. But how nice would it have been for him to have a second chance at that? You know?
Yeah.
That 5 or 6 Claypool's
out here wasting
created,
time.
Yeah. That's what I mean. And so. The benching thing has to happen. Something's going to happen. Or Tomlin's going to spend a week just screaming at the guy if he ends up. I haven't seen any designator next to the guy's name yet, but I think something's going to happen. They've got the 10 days in between, so we'll see if Tomlin cools down. But definitely very upsetting to see, you know, down by 8 points. And being able to, you know, throw it into the end zone, and yeah, he didn't come down with it, but I didn't think it was some egregious drop from
from the Moose's point of view, it seemed like, you know, everybody was kind of going up and after it. He didn't get it. But one more crack at it, I think, would have been very, very helpful. So.
Yeah, I hear you. No need to criticize him too heavily.
No, I mean, he's been a touchdown machine. He's been like that Hunter Henry style player where not a ton of volume, but as soon as they're in the red zone, you know, it seems like it automatically just gets slung his way. And so he still had a few good touchdown catches, and he's been very much a participant in the red zone at least. And it seems like the guy's got some pretty good hands, but it's just, you know, it's kind of the last play of the game. Everybody wants to make it a jump ball. And you're thinking you possibly could have two plays and it turns into one. I'm not going to pull it all.
Claypool, he's a scapegoat. I agree.
Yep. Yeah. And what about the rest of the play for the first half? You know, why are they in that position? Their defense hasn't been good at all. Ben Roethlisberger did not seem like he could, you know, create anything, you know, fancy with the hands for the first half.
No.
It was pretty rough. It was pretty rough. So it can't put it all on Freiermuth or all on Claypool. That's just... It is a little bit of the scapegoat thing, but
you're right. I mean, Dalvin Cook. That was a big deal.
Yeah. I was listening to a show, and the guy goes, he kept calling him the device because of the shoulder harness, and the guy goes, why is this guy not wearing that thing every week? I mean, this needs to be a part of his dress code at this point because the device is creating just an absolute machine of a running back. And it was pretty. That first half, he probably could have just left. He could have just walked off the field and went home because he did enough for them in that first half that was just fun to watch, very fun to watch.
Yeah.
15-yard run.
You think it. Yeah.
You know, I mean, he was getting, what did he get, like a seven or eight yard run, and everyone's like, oh, you know, better luck next time. You know, for another running back, that would have been a great, great play. And he tore him apart. So Dalvin Cook, yep. God, I mean, that's, if there's play that continues like that, he's the player that ends up winning you your league.
Yes.
And there's been a lot of injuries to the running backs. I mean, Kamara's coming back. We'll see what he does this week. But Alvin Kamara's been a player like that, and I think right now Dalvin Cook is in line to very much be that kind of player with McCaffrey out, with Henry out, you know, with Zeke being as kind of spotty and falling off and really no Saquon. I mean, the names are shifting here before
the names are shifting.
Season's draft, you know. You're gonna have to keep Henry up towards the top because the guy has been out for weeks and he's still ranked as like a fourth or fifth running back. But Cook is sliding up, and even with little injury things and that he's you know not new to, he's still producing. He's still absolutely dominating when he's healthy. So his name's kind of making a tick up the same way. You know, Saquon's sliding down, and Zeke are kind of sliding down the rankings.
I agree.
Joe Mixon has been, you know, top 6-7-ish back before and then has slid down because of some injury stuff, but he's very much producing right now. Questionable, again, you know, questionable. So do we even see him this week? We don't know. If not, then Sam J.P. Ryan is a player that needs to be scooped up. That's definitely a possibility. We'll go over that in just a little bit here. I'll hit some injury things in just a few minutes. But, the running back names are shifting. So the next couple of episodes, I'd like to start breaking down who's really at the top of this list and who needs to be going early.
Yeah.
And who you need to be reaching for,
yeah,
for next season. But so that's good. We've hit on a couple of games of the Tampa Bills game. Not Tampa Bills, but Buccaneers versus,
yeah,
Buffalo Bills. Lamar Jackson doing well. Got a couple of people interested and very positive on DK Metcalf.
So, yeah, I mean, we've got
a quick recap there. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, feel free to call us at 515-605-9898.
And then also feel free to message us on Instagram at Brickhouse Fantasy Radio, and we'll try to get you in and answer your questions.
All right, so what's next on the list? What do we got here? What do we got?
Just getting connected, logged back in. Yeah. I love the technical stuff. Makes it fun.
What about this guy, Bryce Young?
Heisman Trophy winner here. Alabama.
Who has that? Okay, perfect. All right. Yeah, sorry about that.
All right, Dallas, Washington. Any interest in this game at all, whatsoever? Over, under, spread. Washington's at +6.5.
I think Dallas should win. I don't know.
Dallas. Yeah, I mean, I think Dallas should win too. Antonio Gibson's a good play, though. I still think Gibson has a decent week. I don't think they stop him from being the focal point of Washington's offense right now.
No, probably not.
Jacksonville, Tennessee. Jacksonville Jaguars are playing the Titans. The over-under is 44 points. And James Robinson is playing.
Okay.
So I think that makes it a little fun. What about the running backs situation? The timeshare that's going on with the Tennessee Titans. Dontrell Hilliard and Foreman. Deontay Foreman. Do you see either one of those kind of standing out, or if you had to play one, who would you play?
For this week, I'll probably play Foreman. I think they're both good plays.
Specifically because they're playing against Jacksonville, or is that any given Sunday?
Yes, because they're playing Jacksonville. I think they're going to get up ahead early and then just run it a bunch of times the second half.
You think Tannehill goes back to earlier season form? Because he was doing fantastic at the beginning of the season. I know they had Derrick Henry, but Tannehill was was producing much better than he has been, you know, towards the back end of what's been played so far. Do you think it's just because of the loss of Henry?
And the receivers.
That's true. This is true.
So, I don't think he's going to put up a strong fantasy number today. I mean, I think he's going to run the show for the Titans well enough they're going to cream Jacksonville. But as far as putting up a big number for like, fantasy manager, no, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. I see. What about San Francisco and the Cincinnati game? So 49ers playing the Bengals. The over-under is at 49. Vegas is guessing that the under is what's happening. Is the game decided on whether or not Joe Mixon is playing or not?
That sounds right.
San Francisco's defense has been really good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if the game is decided by that, but I think Cincinnati's chance to win is decided by that. Like, if he's not playing, then that's San Francisco all day. If he is playing, it's probably more of a toss-up.
San Francisco's down a running back again. I mean, San Francisco's been down a lot of players for a while. But,
yeah.
Mitchell, that's what I was thinking.
Mitchell.
For a second. Guy's been playing lights out. He's been a fantastic player.
Yes, yeah.
They're down, and I believe Jeff Wilson Jr. is like on deck to carry most of the load today. Do you have any thoughts or reservations with him?
I don't know. Like, I've had some good guys playing him in the past. This season, he hasn't done so well.
Yeah, this is true. And that's where it's like, all right, well, at what point are we then putting all of our eggs into a Garoppolo basket?
No, no one's playing Garoppolo. Are you kidding me?
Who do you start, him or Lamar Jackson?
No one's playing Garoppolo. Like, come on, bro. This is week 14. People are trying to make the playoffs. No one's putting their playoff aspirations on Garoppolo.
This is true. That's a tough pill to swallow, and that's why I'm wondering, you know, why is this game so close? You know, we're discussing Joe Mixon. We can't get his injury report until 3 o'clock today, so we're not going to know until after the games get rolling. So if you're out there, be careful with the Joe Mixon. But why is the Cincinnati game and the 49ers become so close? They've got Wilson Jr. not doing as great. Nobody really wants to bet on Garoppolo. Is this just because of San Francisco's defense?
Dave, I got no clue. Like, when I was going through the list trying to figure out what I like for picks of the week, that was one of them that I saw where I was just like, I don't know what to make out of this. Like, right? You know,
a little bit squirrely.
You know, like, look, I know that San Francisco has been winning more than they've been losing lately. So, okay. But I also know that a lot of people for a good many months now have been trying to tell me the Bengals are good at football. And while I'm not sure that those people are correct, I know I've seen enough that says, like, even though it might be fair to disagree, like, those people aren't out of pocket, you know? Like, it's they have the ability to score a lot of points sometimes.
Yeah, Debo, Ayuk.
No, I was referring to the Bengals.
Oh, and I mean, yeah, Bengals, yeah. And what's crazy is Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase, you know, early season was electric. I think is a good way, and that seems to have tapered off a little bit.
Right.
So if they can get their thing, if Mixon's not playing and Burrow can you know find that juice with Chase, I think the Bengals would be my favorite to win this one. I'm not even looking over unders or spreads. Just trying to think. You know, offensive. I know you and the champ had discussed high powered offenses. I tried to sneak in there to say maybe Cincinnati could be in that discussion with a healthy Joe Mixon.
Two disasters.
And I believe T. Higgins is on the injury report, too.
Oh, that's
another
a shame.
Player he's expected to play, but they're not removing that designator quite yet just because it's the 4 o'clock game.
Okay.
But it's looking like he – I'm looking at the injury report now. Looking like he is on deck to suit up.
You know, here's something.
Okay.
You know, it's not even like a big thing to jump into now. It's just something to say, like, hey, for the listening audience, like, it's sometime in the future we want to get further into the subject of, like, you know, when we're in pay leagues here, we're all gambling. And then you got guys not setting lineups week 13, week 14, heading into the playoffs. How offensive is that? Right? I'm taking callers for.
Please call in 515-605-9898.
That's a forever standing question. If someone ever wants to call in and tell us how offensive they think that is, we'll take it.
In all seriousness, I mean, is that something, as we've had this discussion, but is there a finable offense? Is there a punishment or some sort of consequence that needs to be had if you're in the money, if you're playing for just that pride, or to say your friends are not good at fantasy football, then it's a very different story. Then obviously, it is what it is. Everybody's out there.
We're playing for money, and you know, like right now, this week, the guy I'm matched up with hasn't completed setting his lineup at this point. And I mean, I don't know. Like, maybe someone else in the standings is trying to catch up to me is bothered by that decision, right?
This is true. This is very true. What do we got? Missed him one on a bye week player. So yeah. So I mean, is this a discussion there, or is he just making a point? Because I could get into that. I mean,
I was really just opening it up to if there was a listener that wanted to weigh in on the subject. Like, it's something the commission and I have been discussing, like, in our private discussions, like, what's appropriate? Like, yeah, it's for money, but also we are all friends. Like, we don't want the first choice to address a situation to be like, hey, friend, can't play with us no more. Like, that's not what we want.
Correct,
so,
yeah. We're trying by any means necessary to avoid.
Yeah, like, how do we get people to just set their stinking lineup every week? Like, I mean, geez.
And it's different because in other fantasy sports, there are so many games involved that it really is easy to just, you know, let one slip past you.
Sure.
You know, basketball, you're getting 3 to 4 games in a week. You know, baseball is even crazier. Hockey, same thing. I tried my hand at a little fantasy hockey two seasons ago, and it's very labor intensive. The amount of, you know, injuries, and in basketball now too, it's another thing. Like, you even have to consider whether or not the player is vaccinated.
Oh my god!
And they could play in certain cities.
Oh my god, Kyrie Irving.
So I mean, there's a lot of things to consider in some other fantasy sports, but football is very consistent. I mean, you've got Monday to Thursday to figure out something.
I mean, I just don't get it. Like how do you not have time? Like, throughout a whole week, you can't, I don't know. Like, I just have trouble empathizing. I don't get it.
I personally think there could be some form of a fining, friendly fines is what we'll call that. Just things that have to go back into a pot or get allocated to, a charity of choice. But as long as somebody's got to pay something or lose something, I think maybe we can try to curb the lack of roster setting weeks. So, yeah, things to consider, in future seasons as we, continue to play with the group of fans.
Yeah, and for me, it's like a really an open forum. Like, I would like to hear what some of the outside opinions would be on a subject like that.
Yeah, no, it's a great topic. It's definitely something that needs to be discussed. For a lot of people, this is not just us or our league. There's people elsewhere that play, ESPN public leagues or Yahoo public leagues, and there's always, three or four guys that are really playing, and then five or six that just basically wanted to do a mock draft and they hit the wrong button. But when you start, playing consistently with the same group of guys, and then throwing some money down on it, it's a discussion. It's a discussion what to do other than try to yell at your friends, because I don't want any of that.
No, I mean, to be honest, I'd rather yell at my friend than kick him out of my fantasy league. if that would work. I don't know if it would work, but if yelling at them would make them set their stinking lineup, then I'd rather yell at them than kick them out of the league. Personally.
Yeah. Facts.
Yeah, that's really the simplest solution is, hey there, weirdo, you're not in the league anymore. But it's really not ideal. Like, we are friends. I want to play fantasy football with my friends. Look, I want to play fantasy football with my friends. The trouble with that is it involves them playing fantasy football.
Right. Yes. Yep.
So what do you do with that?
And I think where it gets frustrating too is that in this league, in our Brick House league, up until a couple of weeks ago, we had maybe one or two guys that are, maybe didn't do well enough early on in the season. They're kind of out of the playoff mix, and that I think is usually what starts the lack of setting a lineup, is just discouragement in the game, so you're not looking at it as much. You don't want to be down about it. But there's so many people, with week 10, week 11, that are still fighting for spots, that it should keep people at least engaged, I just think that there's a lot of opportunity. Sometimes, we're just discussing there was a possibility prior to the Steelers-Vikings game, there's a possibility that the Detroit Lions could make it into the playoffs.
Yeah.
A lot of things need to happen for that. But the fact that that's a discussion after, an O and everything start, it's interesting. And I don't think people did a lot of the math when it came to their football team and whether they could end up making it into the playoffs.
They got all emotional and decided they didn't want to try anymore. They didn't actually figure out how far out of contention they really were or weren't.
Correct.
Yeah, correct. I agree. Emotional bastards.
It's football Sunday, man.
Yeah.
Football Sunday.
Yeah, man. It's all fun.
Yeah, you got me on a topic that I don't want to dive into too much.
No, I mean, I was really just touching on it in case there was someone in the audience that wanted to call in about it. That's all.
Sure. Yeah,
but
sure.
Sounds like there's not. But okay, we tried.
Excuse me. Right now, I think we're looking pretty good. with the injuries. So Tony Pollard is out. I did hear, I was reading a little bit about Ezekiel Elliott this week. They were asking him basically about core play, and he did respond about being sick and not really feeling 100%. So, and then, you know, when asked this week, he feeling a lot better, more mobile and feeling like a little bit more like his old self. And
was it that made him sick?
I'm trying to think. I don't have it up here, but I think it was just illness. I don't know. I don't know if this was stomach problems or a cold, but he's proven to be a fairly tough guy. So, but the play did, I mean, sorry, but it sucked. He just watching him play last week was rough. I mean, I know Pollard had that big run, but Pollard still looked better on his, you know, even a 2 yard game. It looks better than Zeke's 2 yard game. You know, he just a little more explosive, kind of dropping the shoulder a little bit more. So, yeah, kind of sad to see him out.
You think it was 42-27? You think that's what made him sick?
That it could be. It could be.
It could have been, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
I'm reading this now. It's kind of interesting. Russell Wilson. They're putting out articles about who Russ would waive his no trade clause for.
Yeah, I love those. What do they
know?
Got? Saints, Broncos. Is that about right?
Ooh, man, this is interesting. I did not see this morning. Yeah, Broncos, Giants, and Saints.
Okay.
I could see the Broncos. Defense has been playing good. You got Melvin Gordon, who's actually going to be playing this week, in case anybody was wondering about that injury report.
Okay.
He is going to be playing.
Melvin Gordon.
Yeah. We need a sound effect for that. And Williams. Devontae Williams is proving to be, you know, a young stud, kind of stepping
Yo,
up.
That guy's still finding himself. That guy is nice.
So I could see Russell Wilson wanting to do something with the Broncos, especially, you know, Jerry Jeudy, Sutton, Tim Patrick. I mean, there's still some guys there. Noah Fant.
I could see that. I could see like from Wilson's side of it. I can see the Saints as well. That makes sense to me. Like if he feels that he can step into that Drew Brees role, and then the rest of the roster is pretty much there, then. I could see why he would think that.
Yes.
You know,
yep.
One thing that I've noticed is a lot of times in the NFL, NBA too, like if one of these main guys is traded, a lot of times they try to go opposite conference with it so that they have the least chance of playing the guy. So that would make Denver the strongest candidate out of the three teams listed there.
Sure. I mean, the Saints, agreed. The Saints is a good argument with the Kamara, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's something that is that is Michael Thomas still even an option if they were to switch it up with the quarterback situation?
Maybe.
Is he now more favorable, or is he on his way out already? I mean, it kind of seems that way, but.
I never thought he was really that good to begin with. I don't know.
No, he's a volume guy. He's a volume guy. You throw the ball at him 12 times, he'll end up with it, you know, 8 or 9 times.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's done a lot of that mid to long range, not quite the super long, but that didn't always have to be a 3 yard catch, but, you know, like 12 to 15 yards, somewhere in there. You know, crossing the field, and I think that kind of volume, he's a good player for that. Very good player. But
yeah.
Not a number one wide receiver.
Yeah. And if he's creating issues in the locker room, that's kind of tough. So.
Yeah.
So I see the Broncos. I see some argument for the Saints, but I'm really not seeing it with the Giants.
No, to me, that's almost just like, I want to play in New York. Like from a roster personnel standpoint, I don't see what's attractive about the Giants. Coaching, like, do they have any famous coach that a guy would want to go play with that I'm aware of, right?
Right, right. No, it's not right now.
Yeah. So, I think that's just a New York thing. Like, I want to be in New York. That's where the money's at. That's where the endorsements are at. That kind of thing.
Crazy to me. I don't know. They're just... The line doesn't seem like they're that great right now.
No. That would be like another Seattle. Like, just a bad team that says, all right, Russ, how strong are your shoulders this week?
Yeah, can't carry me.
We are all climbing on your back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what that would be.
Seahawks, Travis Homer's out and active.
Oh, it's all about you, baby.
Yeah.
Turnover chain.
Just looking to see the last minute. I mean, Coleman's out for the Jets. Just looking to see if there's anybody right now, right? Because you're not too far out from those 1 o'clock games. You got 12:18 already.
We're getting there. Taking you up to 1 o'clock, folks.
Mixon expected to play.
Okay.
Derrick Henry on track to return by the playoffs.
So Mixon's playing, and the Bengals are underdogs at home, I believe. What is that?
Did that change? That's what we discussed that before. Would it possibly change?
So did it change? Let us check. Did it change?
I'm refreshing now. Cincinnati +2.
I mean, that seems like a win. Doesn't it?
It does.
I'm going to have to receive a delivery here momentarily. So just a brief.
No, Green Bay's playing against Chicago. That's another one. Green Bay's -11.5. There's Vegas under at 43.
That's a big number, man. -11. I mean,
and a half. It can't be. It's got to be 12.
I mean, if they don't win by 12 or more, they don't cover. Like, that's a lot.
That is a lot, but it's Aaron Rodgers. Devontae Adams. I mean, you're getting Jones and Dillon, and then you're going up against Justin Fields. Maybe Montgomery does okay this week. Allen Robinson's not playing. I mean, basically going to have to rely on Justin Fields to Mooney against Green Bay's defense, who's been very, very angry. They've been playing ticked off lately. And it's not huge numbers. Their rankings don't really express the type of play and the way they've been keeping their team, you know, the offensive side of the crew on the field. So that to me is interesting. But I kind of feel like Green Bay could split the 12 points. 12 points against Chicago. Fields has been a turnover machine, hasn't found any real rhythm.
Okay, so then here's my question. We've decided that it's not an unreasonable play to take Green Bay winning by the 12. How many picks need to be in your parlay before you get to that one? Like, the confidence rankings, how much do you love that? Hang on, I'll be right back.
Okay. I think that, you know, confidence level. I'm trying to think right now. I feel better about it than some of the other picks. We discussed today the Buffalo Bills versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and we've
kind of gone over how that could potentially be a lot of fun to watch with good defense, good offense, good back and forth. This is kind of the opposite. This is good offense versus, at this point, mediocre defense. The beginning of the season, they started out really strong. As time has gone on, they've fallen off a little bit. And I think the defense is going to be on the field way too much with Fields' inaccuracies and the turnover rate. It's tough. I think there's going to be a lot of turnovers. I think Green Bay has a pick six for a touchdown.
Okay.
You know, I think that is possible. I think Green Bay's defense is going to be what helps shift that number. So I would be a little more confident in Green Bay winning by 12 than I would betting on this Tampa-Buffalo game. That one seems like I want to watch it more than Green Bay-Chicago. But I think covering-wise, that's the question. I think I would put that close to the top of my list, actually.
Okay.
I like it. I know it is a lot of points.
It's
a little bit squirrely, but two touchdowns. It's Aaron Rodgers. At a certain point, there's going to be, when a guy makes claims that he owns a team in previous wins.
What? Does that mean you're going to wager on it just because he said so?
Yeah, but he didn't say so and lose. Like, he said so and destroyed, you know? And
true.
And so you got a team, you know, kind of riding a hot streak.
True.
And Rodgers has been fantastic, especially this season, in not turning the ball over.
Yes.
His touchdown to interception ratio is freakish. So
yes.
I'd say him not creating issues for the offense is huge, and I think Fields on the other side of the ball is going to continue to do that.
Yeah.
Maybe he makes a few splash plays with the feet, but I don't see Fields getting to, you know, more than 12 fantasy points. Because he's going to throw two picks, and I'm saying
it really seems like a bum.
It does. For as much, you know, effort and time people have spent talking about the guy. I mean, I was curious. I had an interest to see what he was going to do. But now, and the way the team is set up, there's just no. It's a waste of time.
We were all curious, especially like any time a quarterback is like teasing that they're going to be able to get you fantasy points by way of rushing. That's always intriguing.
Yeah, because the NFL has been kind of changing and tweaking itself to move a little bit away from the run stuff and moving into the passing. And the mobile quarterbacks have been very much favored because they get you those extra, you know, three to eight points.
It's like, as a fantasy player, it's helpful. Like you get, what you end up getting a lot of times is like a guy that's just a marginal quarterback is actually a strong fantasy scorer, like Jalen Hurts, for example, right?
Sure. Look at Taysom Hill.
We had a discussion,
and I said I was nervous about him. I think they had him projected like a little over 20 points. I thought maybe he got just there, and if you were still interested too, you know, we both.
This is
cool, but I think both could be very nervous about the other end, the turnover side. And ironically enough, the guy finishes with, you know, mid to high 20s in fantasy points, and after four interceptions, so that's minus 8 points. I mean, the guy was fantastic on the ground. He was single-handedly, his back was a little sore. You know, midway through that game, about third quarter, he decided, I'm not giving the ball to anybody else. I'm just going to keep taking it, play after play after play. And it was 8-yard gain, 12-yard gain, 6-yard gain, 12-yard gain. So he added quite a bit with his legs.
Yeah.
So that was the hope with Fields, and I just don't see it happening. He maybe he gets a long rush. Maybe he even runs in a touchdown. But I also think there's at least two picks, maybe three.
Yeah, I'm not a believer in the Fields at this point. So I received a delivery, and the delivery man, you know, he observed, you know, that I'm wearing my Sunday clothes, right?
Okay.
And he said, oh, were we taking the points from Detroit this week? Right? and so the delivery man and I agreed that we're going to take the points with Detroit this week.
Taking the points with
Detroit. Also, just like a total side note, it is the tornado gas. Just thought I'd let you know that.
Okay.
We're taking the points with Detroit. We're taking Detroit points plus tornado gas is what we're doing this week.
All right, so back to football.
Detroit points. Detroit points,
okay.
I mean, it seems like a safe cover.
Okay, here's a question, just discussing Thursday night's game, just quick again. Roethlisberger.
Okay,
he has kind of worked his way out of a lot of lineups. I mean, he was, for a while, he was like a very coveted quarterback. And not because of, like, you know, the top tier. He was never going in the, you know, first couple of rounds the way some other, you know, the Lamar Jackson or the Patrick Mahomes type of deal happened. But he's literally worked his way, even in a deep league, worked his way off of rosters and onto waivers. And then after that game, he put up 27 fantasy points, and it seems like he did it all in the fourth quarter.
It seems that way.
But it's been a few games in a row now where he has kind of moved his way back into, other than the Cincinnati game that he did 9 points.
Right. I went back and looked at this as well. And it, like, in addition to him, like, scoring fair points in 3 out of the last 4 games, all 3 of the games where he seemed to score fairly, it seemed like it was straight fourth quarter. All 3 times.
Right, but Matt Stafford has been that quarterback with the line. Like, prior years, he had been a quarterback like that where you could only expect to see 7 to 10 points.
Oh, my God.
Until the fourth quarter.
Many times. And yes, that's the thing. But you know who else had this vibe? Was Andrew Luck. Right? Like, you're entering
yes.
the quarter.
Yes.
And the quarterback has 8.5 points, right? And then by the time it's all zeros on the clock, right, he's got 31.
Exactly.
And
it's like, so Roethlisberger.
I loved Andrew Luck for that. Oh, my goodness. I miss him.
I kind of feel like Roethlisberger from this point in the season, because there's only a couple of weeks left of the regular season. Week 15 is Tennessee. Week 16 is Kansas City. And then week 17 is Cleveland. And that one's a little bit tougher. I feel like Steelers are weird with the divisional games, but they're playing at home. They do better historically at home.
Yes. Yes.
So the next 3 games that Roethlisberger could be like a usable quarterback. It's tough because nobody throughout the season, nobody wanted to say, yeah, I'm going to use Roethlisberger as my quarterback in the playoffs. But with the schedule being what it is, and the fact that you can't be really nervous until late in the fourth quarter about his production, yeah, I think that's a possible look for somebody who's dealing with injuries or, you know, kind of needing a play. So check to see if Ben Roethlisberger is available on your waivers, and at the very least, pick him up.
So
schedule-wise,
Tennessee, Kansas City, Cleveland.
Yep.
I don't love it. I don't love it.
Really? Kansas City is letting a lot of points. Tennessee is a little bit different.
Are they? Like I'd like to examine this because that's not the first time you said that today. Let me see.
Examine away.
I am. Let's see. Yeah, because I've been kind of under a different impression. Let me see something. We'll see. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so today's December 12th. Okay. So they have won five games in a row, four games in a row. What is this? One, two,
Who's three,
five in a row. Chiefs have won
Chiefs.
Five in
okay.
a row.
Okay.
Over the five, I'm just going to call out their points allowed. Okay?
All right.
17, okay. 17, 7, 14, 9, 9. That sounds
okay.
Like
Who are those teams?
Giants, Packers, Raiders, Cowboys, Broncos.
So Packers is really the only one on there that's like ultra.
Dallas.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but just
so
just
two out of the five.
And just to say, like, they've won five in a row. How have they done it? Like. They haven't been scoring much, like, other than the Raiders game where they scored 41 over those five. Like, their points scored haven't been – like, they're not winning with big points or yards. Like, 20, 13, 41, 19, 22.
Sure, but the win doesn't always translate into the other team's lack of fantasy production. So, like, yes, I hear what you're saying. Like,
yeah, like,
maybe
like,
it sounds
it just
a little too
like,
strong.
I think that they're actually like a defensive team in disguise. Like, I think people have a hard time really conceptualizing that because of what they've been for the last 3 years. But, they started the year kind of and they've gotten back on the horse. Like, they look like they're going to win the AFC again. And it appears to be on the strength of their defense at this point in time.
Okay. All right. All right, listen. I think it's I can make or formulate like the idea off of the whole season,
yeah,
and then forget to look at specifically like the last 4 to 5 weeks because that's really how it should be analyzed. Teams get better, you get guys coming back from injuries and stuff like that. So I definitely can see like all right, they are stopping some play. I mean, a few of those teams. The game script-wise, they haven't had to do, a ton. But a couple of them, Packers, Cowboys, those are two good
Even the Giants game, like, if you recall, like, the Giants kind of blew it in the fourth quarter. They beat them 2017.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't a game where they were sitting on the ball because they were ahead by so much. Like, they could have benefited from some Pat Mahomes magic. And yeah, they got two corners that are really locking up, and Chris Jones has been a total game record. I think he's got to be in the three candidates of defensive player of the year, like the top 3 to 5.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
We know Tyrann Mathieu, like that guy is always causing trouble out there. So if you got a troublemaking safety, a game wrecking lineman, and two corners that can cover, that's a defense, isn't it? I mean, that sounds like you could do a lot with that.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Agreed.
Yeah. So I'm
and,
actually
and the offense has dipped down a little bit. So a little bit more time with the defense on the field.
And Pat Mahomes has been getting his fantasy number. Like, even, like, with the team and their, like, total points not really being there, like, Pat Mahomes is getting his number.
Sure.
But it's, they're not the high-flying Chiefs of the last couple of years right now. I think they're going to win the AFC.
If Patrick Mahomes and the offense there can continue to even just kind of inch back towards the offense that it was earlier on, then absolutely. I mean,
and that seems like a safe bet. And, like, so, like, let's say they struggle to make that happen. Who is giving them the big run for their money? The Patriots? The Ravens? Like, what do you see in the AFC? Buffalo?
The Patriots, honestly, is probably my pick because defense has been fantastic, and Mac Jones has been available to not screw it up.
Yes. So do you think the Patriots are going to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl?
You're asking me some pretty bold questions here, my friend.
I mean, I think this is a fair time to start considering such things, like, especially, like, with this week being what it is, like, there's not a lot of big, big fantasy stuff. Like, should we sit here and talk about Julio Jones is playing? Like, does that matter? Or can we have a fun, hey, who's going to make the Super Bowl chat, right?
Well, I mean, this is week 14. There's still 4 weeks left. And if you're talking about the possibility of the Lions, other teams with lesser records being available to, you know, possibly slide in, I mean, you never know who gets disrupted. I mean, the playoffs are fun, man.
One loss and out, so that creates some excitement.
The Patriots. I'm trying to think of who else is really going to be like that type of contender here.
I think Buffalo is on everyone's short list, like, at least in the sense that they could do something.
Sure. I mean, Josh Allen is that type of player.
Baltimore, like, Lamar Jackson has an MVP.
This is true, and you can't write them off. You can't do all that.
Right? So
who do you like the best? For the AFC?
I think the Chiefs will win it.
Yeah, Chargers are 7-5. Titans are still 8-4. They're not.
I heard Derrick Henry's going to play in the playoffs.
Yes. Yep. They did. They did post something this morning saying that
I thought that was preemptive, like, in the sense of what you were just saying. Like, that's a part of the standings that's yet to be secured. Like, the Colts could win that division.
The Titans, that's what I mean. You get Derrick Henry back.
The Colts could be the winner of the AFC South here.
This is true. They're only one game behind, 7-6.
Right. So now the Colts have to win it by outright. They can't win it by way of tie. Titans beat them twice.
Right.
So there is that.
And for the NFC, Cowboys, Packers, Bucks. So Packers, Bucks, Cardinals. Cardinals got a pretty solid, you know, 4-0 for the division, 10-2 on the season.
I like the Rams.
Stayed the Rams.
Yeah.
For the NFC.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That seems a little risky. I think between the Rams and Cardinals, just for the NFC West, that's tough. NFC South. I mean, there's nobody. You know, the Saints.
It appears the Cardinals are going to win their division and possibly get the bye as the one seed in the NFC. But, I mean, I don't know.
I think Green Bay's got a better shot at going than the Rams.
I could see that.
They've just been 2-1 in the division, but still, a couple of bad games. It is what it is. But consistently, Rodgers and his, you know, lack of turnovers, I think.
I think they've played in like 6 of the last 8 NFC championships.
Right.
Yeah.
Can't exactly rule them out.
No, certainly not.
So you like the Rams?
I do.
Man, that seems like a little bit of a stretch. Listen, Stafford is awesome for them. I think they lights out did so much better in that trade. You know, getting rid of Goff, giving Stafford some weapons, actual weapons.
Yeah,
he's fantastic. I'm really rooting for the guy. Much rooting for him. But you know, the Cardinals being able to win even without Murray and Hopkins has been almost a non-factor for most of the season.
True.
And he was one of the more dangerous weapons that people still wanted. You know, even if you didn't like the trade leaving Houston to go to Arizona, you still knew that there was just going to be points on
just
deck
talent
for the guys.
Like
talent wise, he's the best receiver. He's the best receiver in the league.
It seems like, yeah, it seems that way.
Adams, very close to that.
I think Metcalf is closer than we give him credit for, actually.
I agree. Russ, it's been a weird season for them. I really thought he was going to be number one by the end of the season when we started, when we drafted.
Yeah.
I really thought
you want to have the best receiver in the league talk. Like, I think Metcalf really does belong there. Like, Hopkins, of course. Adams, yes.
Adams is a little bit of a chemistry thing. I think Hopkins really could go anywhere, and people
agree with that. Like, as long as you're not pairing him with, like, Case Keenum or something, like, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Mike Glennon.
No, I mean, listen, sometimes guys get screwed, so you have to really make sure everyone knows what you're saying, but... Yeah, like, you give him competent quarterback play, it seems like he should be a major threat. Doesn't matter what else is going on.
Sure. Well, my man.
Yeah?
This is good.
I like it.
Good. We definitely will. I think next week we should, seeing after the matchups play out this week. We'll be slightly more narrowed. I think we should do a little segment on who's going to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I like that. But yeah, we went over some good games this week. I liked it. Please, if you're listening, you can find the show after on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Intune. If you search IFM Radio Nation, our episodes will pop up. And still, if you've got any questions moving forward before these 4 o'clock games or late night games tonight or tomorrow, and you want to hit us up on Instagram, search us with the @BrickHouseFantasyRadio. Message us some questions. We'll definitely get back to you, and if you have any roster issues, happy to help. DC, what else we got? You know, any wrap-up stuff are you thinking about?
I mean, I'd like to hit him with picks of the week.
Picks of the week. All right, let's do that.
Okay. Detroit plus 11.5 at Denver. I think that's like the main one everyone loves, including my delivery man.
Everyone loves. Okay. All right. So Detroit.
And Cincinnati plus 2 at home?
Plus 2 at home, Cincinnati.
Does everyone love that also? Mixon's playing?
We do. Yep.
Baltimore plus 3 at Cleveland? I mean, the boss loves Lamar.
This is true. So we're going one of the picks of the week. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Joey. All right. We're going with Lamar. Up against Cleveland for the bounce back.
I like the plus 3. Like, I think Baltimore should be establishing themselves in their division at this point in time. And beating Cleveland would really be strong support for that plan. So.
Yeah.
And so to see that they're actually 3-point underdogs, I like it.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
What else?
Well, you had mentioned that you had high confidence in the Packers covering their 12.
I love that one. That's my.
Let's throw it forward. The commish special. Okay.
Sure.
Go
ahead. Yeah.
Okay. How about Buffalo Tampa under 54.5?
I got 52.5. Where are you at? I'm on the fourth line.
Okay. I just refreshed and got 52.5. It dropped.
52.5. I like the over on 52.5.
Yeah, see, you like the over?
I like the over.
Hmm.
I like the over, so we're not agreeing on this one. We need a new pick. We need a new. It could be. Listen, that's why we discussed that at the beginning of this is because. This
okay. I'm looking at 43.
Point game or.
I'm looking at 43 on the Chargers. You have 43 on the Chargers?
Yeah, 43. It's 43.5.
You like the over?
Yes.
I do too.
Low.
Yeah.
And the Giants, as bad as they've been, have still been putting up points.
I mean, it seems
sometimes
like
if you
think the Chargers have 30 in them, then the over is safe.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think the Chargers have 30 in them.
I do too.
So those would be the 5 in a week then.
All right, I like it. Put it in the books, and let's see how
we do. We've been like on the 4-1 side of things the last couple of weeks here.
Yeah, I was counting up some of our suggestions. We've had a few bad ones, but we've had several good ones too. We're right around 70%.
I mean, we've been doing this for a while, you know.
So that's we could guess wrong, but. You got a 70% chance that we're
going to
guess right.
Perfect,
so. Set your lineups, people. How about that? Start there.
Yeah, like how about Jalen Waddle not starting at receiver? How about that? Guys.
And you wish they were listening to this, but they're not. So they're sleeping. They're doing nothing. My man, listen. This is another week 13 or week 14 of the NFL, but episode 13 for us here has been a good one.
Yeah, it's I like it. I enjoyed the program today. Good job.
Thank you, my friend. As always, talk fantasy football.
All right.
Please join us next week. You can find us at sportstalkdt.com as well. Old episodes, next week's live one. And if not, and you couldn't catch us, remember Apple, Google, Intune, iHeartRadio, search IFM Radio Nation. I am the Commish, and DC is here with me. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate the support and everybody that listens. Good luck with your fantasy teams, and I hope you have a great friggin' Sunday. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Watch football.
And let's do it. All right, man. I'll talk to you.
Later.
Everybody knows this is how the story